Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. This is part two of the recap. If you missed part one, go check out your podcast feed. It's right there. And without further ado, let's get right back into the recap.
So now let's switch gears. Drake versus Kendrick to Tupac versus Biggie. Pop culture.
I was like, are these all people Lala thinks she is sometimes? Like, what? Where is this going?
I know these people. Pop culture has given us some iconic rivals, and at this point, we can probably add the Bucos versus the Caparinas to the list. So Jason, crotch from under your arm, says, you previously defended Jax's bad behavior, but are in an uproar over Danny's. What's the difference?
He's like, well, number one, I never defended what Jax did, like his behavior. I mean, like, I took him to rehab, and after he got out, I was like, you're pretty much cured, and I think you're probably a really great guy now. And I took some time to see if he was going to make some changes, because it's a big deal to go to rehab for 30 days. And I think that, like, you know, when somebody does something like that, they deserve a little bit of grace and, like, time to maybe see if they've changed things around. You know, pretty cool.
Yeah, but if Zach and I even for a second gave, like, a hint of sort of any friendship with Jax, Brittany would be so pissed at us.
And Zach goes, yeah, like, are you talking about at Thanksgiving? And she's like, oh, he goes, actually, it was Christmas. It was Christmas you guys spent with Jax. And Janet goes, yeah, it was not Thanksgiving. It was Christmas. Oh, much better. Okay, and before they obfuscate what's happening here, the accusation is that you guys are such fucking hypocrites about Danny being a disgusting alcoholic, which, by the way, you've been right about. And Danny is a disgusting man who acts terribly when he's drunk. But then you're supporting someone who is literally abusing your friend drunkenly, mm-hmm, on camera, like on the Ring cameras. So this slippery shit of Jax and Jason is, I think, pretty hypocritical. And I'm glad it's being called.
Yeah, out. I think I agree. I think it's gross. I never understood why Jason was so friendly with Jax even before the rehab thing. I feel like I do like Jason, and I feel like he seems like a smart guy, but I never understood why he gave Jax passes. I thought that was like a failing on his part. And so, but now it's interesting
because Jax, because he's kind of a dorky guy, and Jax is a cool guy. I mean, he's a disgusting guy, but he was like the star of Vanderpump Rules, and, you know, he's got all this going on, you know, and especially the way Jax talks, God knows what he's telling Jason he's got going on. And Jason just likes being part of the cool kids club.
I know. You know, that's what's so funny about Jason is that, like, he presents almost like he's like the star quarterback. He's like this tall, handsome, successful, smart guy. He's got like everything going on, but his energy is, you can see he was actually sort of like nerdy. Like, he's kind of like a big hot nerd. And Jax is actually like the jock guy. He's like the popular guy in school. And I think that Jason was just like drawn to that. I don't know. Yeah. Like, that's how it seems from the outside. But what's interesting here is that the conversation.
Well, that's both of them in that couple, no? Because he's like that with Jax. And then Janet's like kind of the follower of Sheena and, you know, all the other people who were stars on TV that she couldn't wait to meet. So they're kind of like fans, I guess, as a couple. And they wanted to keep that going because they didn't know Jax wasn't going to come back. They didn't, you know, no one knew that Jax wasn't going to be back. So you still got to kiss the ass to make sure that he's not coming after you on the show next year. And you're going to still be friends with Jax.
Well, what's interesting is that this was like a moment where I thought there was going to be a bit more grilling on Janet and Jason about their relationship with Jax. And it actually became more about like, hey, it's not fair because Kristen's saying, if I said anything nice to Jax or if Zach said anything nice to Jax, Brittany, you would have been furious at us. But then Jax fully goes over to their place for Christmas and you weren't mad about it. Like, that's not fair. So it became like an issue about Brittany. And I thought that was like, this doesn't feel like that should be the primary concern here, right? But they decided to go down this path anyway. And so Brittany is like, well, I just like the way that Jason was handling it. And if you guys ever talked to him, like, even after he came out and you were like nice to him at first, I wouldn't be mad. I would be mad if you talked to Jax at first and he was not, because, you know, it just came out real. I wouldn't be mad at all.
Yeah, right. And she goes, well, you talked to Jax, Kristen, when he got out, and I wasn't mad about it. And Kristen goes, wait a minute, you knew exactly what I was doing. I think Kristen was saying, you know, I was talking to him to pump him for information for you. Why are you bringing that up? That's the kind of the vibe I got. Because she was like, you know, I was talking to him, Brittany. And she goes, right, but I'm just saying I wouldn't matter anything. And so Zach's like, yeah, but you guys having... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I want to interrupt because I just had a thought that I think is actually pretty important, which is that I think when Jason says, like, look, when someone gets out of rehab, you owe them some grace to see if they've changed. I think that's 100% correct, right? Like, you have to, like, be like, okay, they put in work, they put in effort. Let's see how this works out. Like, let's be open-minded. But, like, let's not also forget that while Jax was in, quote-unquote, rehab, he was sending Brittany vicious text messages the entire time, to the point where she was moved to actually get a divorce while he was in rehab. And he knew that was happening. So that does kind of undermine his position of like, well, you know, I just picked him up from rehab and I wanted to see, you know, give him some grace to see if maybe he changed. It's like, you know, he didn't change.
Well, like, yeah, that's like, kind of, that's why I'm saying, and I agree with you. And that's why I'm saying it's not just that the drunken rehab, it's the abusing his wife. Like, he was throwing her around. He threw her into the bushes. He threw her computer across the room and I don't know, in front of the kid. Like, it's really bad stuff that whether Jax went to rehab or not, he's still being abusive towards his wife. And you know that. And this woman is your friend. And then you're still going to invite him over to Christmas to be nice. Fuck off. I can't believe they get away with that shit. They're such fucking hypocrites, both of them. And that doesn't mean that Danny didn't deserve to be told off or anything else. Danny will be getting his today as well. But Janet and Jason are huge fucking hypocrites. It makes me crazy. And then she does the whole, well, I asked Brittany if I could do it because my answer was going to be no. But then Brittany said it would actually help her because it would take a load off of her not having to think about where Jax is going to be on the holidays. So I did it for Brittany. I did it. I'm a good person. That's why I did it. No, you had her abuser into your home at Christmas. What are you thinking? I would never.
Yeah, I think that was a lapse in judgment. I mean, the whole thing was like a little weird to me about Brittany saying like it actually made my life easier for them to take on Jax because that way Jax wouldn't be blowing up my phone. I mean, the whole thing is like a little weird. I don't know. It's actually so, there's so many issues going on in terms of like Jackson. I don't know. I don't know. I feel bad that Brittany had to enlist people to distract Jax so that way she could have some peace on the holidays.
Well, this is also where she's like, well, you know, like it did kind of help me. She's doing this thing with her hands where she's making like crazy news person hands. And Kristen's like, look at her hands. Look at her hands. Look at Brittany's hands. Because I think that's her tell. Like, she's clearly just full of shit because the show is also about being on teams. So Brittany's like, no, you know, I'm staying solid with Janet and Jason. Like, you're not coming for my alliance right now.
I think there probably was an element of like, oh, we've been canceled by the audience. Jack's been canceled. Like, we understand. Like, I wonder if they thought like, oh, Jax is a little misunderstood the way we feel like we're misunderstood. So they were more open to him in that way, you know, because I'm trying to imagine, I really do actually have a hard time believing that like they would embrace Jax in that way. Like, I really do. And so it's like, it's so bizarre to me that they had him over for Christmas. Like, it really, really is. But I can imagine there's probably something about like, the weird bond that we see later this episode of being canceled by the audience or just receiving so much audience hate that like you maybe gravitate towards other people who've been through it before. It's so weird.
Well, maybe, but then Janet would be best friends with Kristen. You know
what I
mean?
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't know, but Danny was following Jax around all last year, being quote unquote supportive and Janet wasn't, you know, Janet was a little more like, gross, like fuck Jax, you know, she was like kind of helping Brittany through that. So I'll give her credit for that. But yeah, Jason is just an ass kisser. I think this is like a popular guy and they don't know if he's going to be back on the show or not. And they don't want to fuck themselves over on the show. I think they're thirsty, you know, kind of hangers on. So personally,
this is the lady that made me a coffee cake. You better tread lightly.
That's just the vibe I've always, gotten from those two.
But the funny part is that Jason, strangely enough, despite all this, I do think he's the best. He's the best husband of this entire group, because I mean, quite frankly,
100%.
Like, quite frankly, like this whole thing with having Jax over for Christmas, to me, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But he's the only one who actually treats his spouse with kindness and support. And
he sticks up for her no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what. And he will go have private lunches with whoever he needs to do it. He'll do whatever. I think he's a very good partner too. I'll give him credit for the good marriage for sure.
Yeah. I think this was a shitty part of his journey. Where are we? Danny Buko time? Okay. Is it Buko time?
Let's skip to Danny, because that was a lot. So Andy's like, okay, let's get back to the Bukos and the Cavernas. Danny, Jason tried apologizing to you at the cigar lounge. You're not having it. What could he have said that would have made you more open to moving forward?
I'm sorry. That's what he could have said. I'm sorry.
Jason's like, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm sorry for everything. I mean, because I'm like not sorry for everything. I don't know everything. Like, I don't think everything is something that I have to apologize for. I'm not the one who did things. I wish I didn't call you a clown and a douche, and I don't plan to do that again today. And I'm sorry that I lost my temper on you then. But like, what else am I sorry for? By the way, I think it's just so funny that like Jason last year at the reunion saying, "You're a clown," is like this like horrific crime. Like, oh my God, look how Jason just lost his temper. Like, he lost his temper and said the C word. Oh, he said cup business. No, he said clown. Oh, I demand an apology.
Well, they have to make it about that, because for whatever reason, no one will say the word sexual assault this season. Have you noticed? We have not heard it at all.
Because
they won't say it. And it keeps coming up, and then he keeps stopping himself. So I don't know if they've made it like, guys, this got too dark, or guys, Danny will walk off the stage and refuse to film. I don't know what it is.
No, it's because last season, this is what got Janet the most in trouble, is that she said sexual assault on that boat. And then cue all the comments that were like, Janet is the exact sort of person that lands someone in jail. Janet is the person who says sexual assault. And then all of a sudden, like, someone's entire life is when she's dangerous, she's a Karen, da 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 da. So no one wants to touch it, because no one wants to be accused of that. So everyone's like,
right, but that's what happens, and that's what was said. You know, Danny did get drunk and grab the ass and be like, get daddy a drink, honey, and then like rub Michelle's leg. And Janet maybe took it too far saying that. But even at the reunion last year, all the people who hated Janet were like, well, yeah, it was technically sexual assault, but.
But you know what, though? So I think
it's
actually
already been the plot. So you don't have to start saying clown and using all this other language. Just say it with your chest, people. I mean, that's what it's about.
But you know what, though? It's actually smart not to say it. And the reason why is because then it becomes a discussion of like, is it sexual assault? Is it not sexual assault? What does this do to his future? It's such a hard word. It's like it's a heavy phrase. It can ruin someone's reputation. Like, and it's like, we're not actually talking about that right now specifically. Like, it's ancillary, but it's not what the primary thing is. So it's like, let's just keep it like focused on what it is.
And you're correct. I think you're absolutely correct what you're saying. And that's why it's so stupid that Danny kept bringing it up every single episode. You're so worried it's going to ruin your reputation and your children and your this and your that, that you're going to sob about for the next hour. But then you made it a point every single episode to demand apology for somebody calling you out on doing it. You idiot. Like, what do you think? What do you think they're going to talk about? Listen. You brought it up every episode.
Quite frankly, I still believe that Danny and Nia, they're the ones who had the unforced errors last season and obviously this season, because he was in the wrong and he had actually what seemed to be a pretty good apology to Jasmine that was heartfelt. And then it just became a thing of like, I've already apologized. And like, how dare you say something like that about Danny? It just became about like protecting Danny. And Danny was the one who needed the most protection in this moment. And that started last season. Whether you felt, however you felt about the whole situation last season and Janet, yada, yada, was she being alarmist? Was she not? Whatever. Like, the truth is that Danny did something wrong, and it really did become about like, don't do this to Danny. Don't say these things about Danny. And it's like, that's where they lost the thread, because it should never be about that. And then this would have been dead. It would have been like, I was drunk. I didn't mean to do that. I'm so sorry. And I'm going to work to like build up our friendship. And then it just would have been just another one of these little storylines and then they move forward.
Yeah, but nope. He had to come back every episode demanding some kind of an apology. You idiot. Now you've kept it alive for another year and the tides have turned.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So, Danny's saying, well, your wife said those words, then you perpetuated it, and then you brought it up every episode this year, idiot. And then Andy's like, Danny, how did it feel to see Janet comparing to Charles Manson? He's like, that was absolutely ridiculous. And she's like, I was not comparing him to Charles Manson. I was just saying, just because I didn't see something with my own eyes does not mean a lot of people weren't serial killed.
No, that's exactly what you did. You did exactly what Jack did last season. I'm not a serial killer. I may be an out-of-work actor, but I'm not a serial killer, too.
And he's like such a literalist. He really thinks that he's being called a serial killer. And Brittany's like, well, Jack's actually compared to you. And Janet said it to, like, said it in the room, okay? And Jack's trying to say, like, you were like him. And he's like, don't spin it around. Don't spin it around. I'm not a serial killer. I'm not a sociopath. Are you kidding? Can you believe they're calling me a serial killer? And I love that Janet finally has to be like, okay, what I should have said is just like, just because it didn't happen to me doesn't mean I can't be affected by it. Knowing that you put your hands on somebody made me very uncomfortable with you moving forward, especially while you were still drinking. He's like unable to deal with a metaphor.
Yeah. Well, that was a pretty...
It was a funny-ass metaphor.
I mean, a Charles Manson metaphor, but for him to
She had to go to that extreme, because don't forget, she was trying to explain it to Luke, and Luke is like, I think you should lay off him. And she's like, no, but you don't understand. Like, you know, he's bothering me. And Luke kept on pressing it, and finally she was like, I don't have to know Charles Manson to know that what he did was wrong. Like, she's like, I need to use hyperbole here to get through your dumb skull, Luke. And then of course it's like, wow, she called Danny a serial killer. It's like, oh god, please.
Yeah, she didn't call Danny a serial killer, but she is extreme. It's just Janet. She's gonna go the most extreme in every situation, you know. And they all do, by the way. It's reality TV, line,
by the way. It was a funny ass moment.
Janet's it wasn't horrible. I mean, I can understand why he's mad. I'm just not, you know, I love you. I just don't agree. It was great. But still, fuck Danny the most in this situation. And she's like, well, so Nia comes in. She goes, well, that would have been fine if you said it like that, Janet. But, you know, you're allowed to have feelings because of the things that you shared that we found out about. And I'm so sorry about that. Absolutely. But it's more the malicious intent of your worst to try to hurt him.
Yeah, you know what? Last season, I didn't have many moments where I was drunk or I had too many to drink. I mean, Seth Rogen, even said on your show, he said, hey, who's this Dark Side Danny? I don't even see this Dark Side Danny. I mean, Seth Rogen.
And Lala's like, well, if Seth Rogen says it, I guess it must be Trusk.
I'm assuming you saw the comment that Seth Rogen made recently.
Yes.
Was like, it was of this clip, and he just commented under, and he's like, to be clear, I find his behavior unacceptable.
I find his behavior unacceptable. That's my first attempt ever doing a Seth Rogen impersonation. I don't know if that was.
So, okay. Well, Danny and Neo were juggling the chaos of 4 under 4. Oh, for fuck's sake. Here we go. Let's go again. Another baby.
How are you guys feeling now that Adelaide is just over a year old? Are you still feeling a lament?
How did they not even work in Adelaide's lament in there? So, Neo is like,
oh, it's gotten a lot better.
Can a person develop a gold?
Yes. It's gotten a lot better, and we've also implemented a lot of support in our life. Now we have an au pair, we have someone.
You know that Danny's like, oh, yeah, au pair, yeah, daddy likes an au pair, Daniel.
Or as I like to call her, oh, peach, toots.
for a while we were not able to do that because I was solely focused on the kids, and like everything else is like, it's just like we were like two ships in the night. We weren't able to invest in ourselves.
All right, well, in a private moment at home, you expressed to Danny how overwhelmed and close to burnout you were. How does he normally support you in those situations?
Oh, this answer.
Well, you know, he's really supportive of me. And like whenever I'm in a bad mood, he's like, wow, Nia, maybe you need to exercise more, have less calories or do more squats or something. You know, he's very, very supportive.
She didn't literally say that, but she was like, you know, he makes sure that I exercise and that I eat the right things. And I was like, oh, of course he does.
You know what would make you feel better? Crunches. You should do.
I actually, believe it or not, this didn't hit me like terribly. To me, I sort of heard it as like maybe we need to do something to be active. Maybe you're feeling down. Let's get out of the house. Let's move around. Let's have like a nice meal, or maybe you need something to feel good about yourself or your body. Cause that was an issue that she had last year, was her body. So I actually, believe it or not, was like, I was not offended here by that. I'm just sort of generally offended by him. But believe it or not, this didn't trigger me.
Yeah, I've read it as like, exercise, lose some weight, you'll feel better. And listen,
it very well could have been
any
that.
Weight I've been, and I've been 200 pounds more than this multiple times in my life. I will tell my friends I feel fat. And if one of them tells me, you know what you should do? Eat better and exercise. I'm like, fuck that friend. I never want to hang out with them again. Like, what kind of answer is that?
So Andy's like, also there were this little moment you were trying to finish eating and you needed a little support, and he's like, ha ha, that was funny. And Danny seemed really bothered by the suggestion that he would help you in those moments, and he just really came off like a dick. He's like, 100% I was right in that moment. 100% I was totally right.
I love how Andy is so, he does not give a shit with these casts, you know, like the non-Housewives cast. He's like, you're really a dick. All right, what do we think about that? So Danny pretends that he's like totally taking accountability. And then Nia says they started intense couples therapy before the show started, and they'd been in a place where they're irritable and snappy with each other. And usually if we have a window, like we can pull it back really quick. And Mala's like, wait, hold on. Can I say something though? Cause I understand. Cause I have two kids too. And I can't even imagine having like four. Like I get it's exhausting, but watching that, Nia, you are in this completely solo. And it did feel like, oh my God, this is the norm for them. And the way you handled it, Danny, like I wanted to praise you, or sorry, the way you handled Danny, I wanted to praise you, but I also wanted to jump through the fucking TV and Tupac your ass. Okay,
I wanted to deck him for Yusk. So Andy's like, okay, great, thanks Lala. So what was your reaction when you saw that? And Danny goes, me, I mean, I was a complete nightmare going into that weekend. Again, it is what it is, you know. I was up all night with a screaming toddler, and by screaming toddler I mean a nice can of White Claw in the garage and in the crib with her, and going on no sleep, and had a lot of stress and anxiety about going on that trip with the Comparinas. It's basically Janet's fault, and you know they were going to be there, and knowing that there was going to be a lot of conflict, and unfortunately I was snappy and I took it out on the person that I love the most, which is, of course, a can of Schlitz. And I really wish I could have taken those things back. And Sheen, I'm like, thank you for your very well-prepared little monologue there.
Blaming the baby.
Baby and the Comparinas.
Yes. So, yeah, Janet and Jason are both like, oh, he's talking about us. He's talking about us. Like, we see, they're whispering at each other, but they're also making big ham. We see you guys. Okay, we know. And so Andy's like, you were annoyed because you wanted the babysitter helping more. Do you usually not help put the baby down? I'm a dad now. And Danny's like, well, I think Nia would agree. I usually go above and beyond. All right, Nia. And she's like, yeah, he's the most involved dad. You know, I don't even like putting the baby down for a nap. He puts the baby down for a nap. What about that, everybody?
Yeah, I change all the diapers. I get up 2 to 3 times a month, and people say I don't know how to swaddle, but I watch Nia swaddle all the time, and I'm like, I could probably do that someday. So, like, I don't know what people are talking about.
Yeah, I don't know that the argument has ever been from the audience. I haven't read it, that he's a bad dad. I don't get the vibe that he's a bad dad. It's that you treat your wife abysmally on TV while she's trying to be a good mother.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people who feel like Nia has to do it all and Danny does nothing. That definitely seemed to come off this way. I mean, in the seasons past, he seemed to be actually a bit more hands-on, and I'm not saying that he's not hands-on now, but he definitely was presented more as someone who's making Nia do it all. And I don't know, I do feel like he probably is hands-on to an extent, but I do think that Nia is doing most of the work. Like, he definitely seems like he requires like a good amount of attention. Like, he will help out, he will do some help, but with the kids, but then he's like, and now I need you to help me. Like, now I need a sandwich.
Right, ultimately he's like, but I'm the man in this relationship and you're supposed to be taking care of me as well. Like when he got got snipped or whatever, and he's like, how am I supposed to be stuck here with the kids? I need to be taken care of right now. And then he's like, why would the audience think that I'm not there as much for my kids as Nia is? Because of scenes that you did, sir. So Basically he's saying, look, we had a sitter. So I thought, you know, we need the sitter. So why aren't we using the sitter? But, you know, with sleep deprivation and thinking, you know, when she's telling me to do this or if I could do this, when I'm like, well, we have a sitter, she could put her down. Like it played into how I was feeling, but watching it back is horrifying, you know, and I had kind of spoken the looks I was given. You know, again, Danny, if it was one time, but it was the San Diego trip nonstop. It was the other trip nonstop. It's always, it seems like always. And I like, well, we're not here yet, but I like when Andy was like, yeah, it seems like if you'll talk that way on camera, like how are you talking to her in private? You know?
Yeah.
But right now he's saying, Kristen, what was your reaction? And here's Kristen for her big rehearsed.
I just have to say, I was horrified when I saw how Danny treated Nia on TV. I had no idea.
Yes, you did. And you've been on the after show standing up for his ass too. So stop pretending you suddenly care, Kristen.
It really bummed me out. Yes. Then this is where Andy is like, yeah, like, I guess the concern is this the way you guys act when no one's around? And Lala's like, yeah, I think like we saw into the window and you forgot to close the blinds because you seem like very comfortable speaking to her that way. And you seem really to know how to deal with it. And if like this were out of character, I think it would have been like, what the fuck is going on? And Janet's like, yeah, we like Jason, we never spoke to each other like that ever. He's like, yeah, totally not. So then Lala, it's actually funny because this is a moment when I really want to hear from them about like, is this what happens between closed doors? But we're getting a lot of Lala right now.
Yeah, it's another one of those like Lala, you're not even on the show, but you're right as well. So I don't know. It's good to see someone calling Danny out with his, you know, bullshit like, well, sorry, we have a baby. What's the big deal? It was bad, though. I'm not saying it wasn't bad. So it is good having her there calling him out. But yeah, I feel the same way. Like, what?
So then he's like,
listen,
you don't even go here.
We've been married for 10 years. We have 4 kids, 4 and 4. We have moments that aren't the best where I've said things I've never said before. And she says things that she's never thought she'd say before. And so, like, when you're sleep deprived, you just have moments. So you see, it's not a problem with my personality. It's a problem with my sleeping on account of the kids and also thinking about the Caparinas.
It's not about having it's not about making excuses. It's about having excuses. Do you understand?
And Jasmine is sick of it. She's been like muttering through this whole monologue. And she's like, oh, God, I can't with the kids again. Here we go with the kids. Okay, wait. I'm so sorry, but I'm about to lose my mind over here because like this whole season, like everybody's like not everybody, just you, but everybody with the kid things. Like I have kids. I have sleep deprived. Blah, 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 blah. And so all the parents are like, how dare you?
No,
you
it's not all the parents.
You say that when you are not a parent. Well, the parents on that side of the couch,
it's
Kristen
just, it's
and Luke and Chris Danny and
Luke.
Yeah, are like, uh-uh. Yeah.
Because everyone else there is a parent, you know, Michelle, Jesse, Lacey,
yeah, you're right.
Brittany, Janet, yeah. Jason, Andy, people behind the cameras. Everyone there is a parent. And no one is like, oh, Jasmine, you're overstepping. Everyone's just sitting there like, mm-hmm. Like, yep,
It's just that. So the parents on that side of the couch. So those the four, Kristen, Danny, yeah. Nia.
The shitty, and, I almost had the shitty parents. Not that they're shitty parents, but meaning that they're the shitty couples right now.
Yeah, like, how dare you? You don't have a baby. You can't say anything like that. And she's like, well, I'm just like, yeah, I mean, I know there's struggles and stuff, but like, I can't sleep because of a kid. And I did this and I drink too much because of my kids. And I take Chris inside because of my kids. I didn't say that. She goes, I'm being dramatic, Danny. Okay. And Nia goes, yeah, you are. She goes, well, I'm just saying it's like how it's coming off. So again, she doesn't really explain herself that well, but it's like, everything also, you're being called out for, your excuse is that you have a kid. And at some point, you just have to say, I was shitty and I need to learn to do better. And that's it. And not blame everything on being a parent. It's annoying. Again, stop using your kids as human shields.
If Lala had said that, I think they would have had a different reaction. And the fact that Jasmine said it and like all four of them at once just like went right at her, I don't know. That also made me feel a little uncomfortable. So Andy is like, he's like, well, welcome back to season 3 of our reunion, Luke. We invited you and Kristen to appear on Watch Happens Live together. Guess what, Luke? By the way, you thought we were on Danny. We're back to you. So we invited you on Watch Happens Live together a few weeks ago, and you told my producers that you would only come if Kristen was not involved, that you needed a break.
Oh my God.
Back to you, Luke. Luke, you are my father. And I am your father, I should say. You're not my father. I'm confused. Star Wars, am I right? I am your father, Luke, and your father is telling you, what the fuck is going on with you?
Another movie I didn't get to see because Kristen's controlled my whole fucking life. Oh, God.
Wait a second. When
he asked that, I just screamed at the TV. Are you fucking kidding me? You said you'd go do Watch What Happens Live without Kristen because you're sick of her. What the fuck?
And Kristen's like, yeah, Luke, go ahead and say.
And so then they kind of change this around. And so Kristen starts trying to explain again. It's like, well, I was asked to do it. Our nanny was out of town. So I said, we'll have to bring Kaya. And he said, okay, maybe my mom can come take care of Kaya. And then so I was looking for flights for his mom so she can be with Kaya. And so do you want to say what you really said, Luke? And he's like, well, do you want to say the part where you said you were just going to be in the room the entire time? We can't even do anything. And I'm like, that sounds miserable. And going across the country to change our sleep schedule for less than 48 hours. Luke, you told Watch What Happens Live you wanted to go without Kristen so you can get a break from her. Stop with this.
Nothing to do with the baby.
Stop it. Ugh.
That was shitty. He's like, I mean, sometimes you need space. And honestly, like jumping over 3 time zones to like not even get adjusted and jump back. We had a week to fight with the baby. It just wasn't good. Oh, God. I don't know. Okay, here's what I'm going to say as someone who does not have a child. I would say there's a 75% chance I'm wrong on this. But I'm going to tell you what it always feels like to us childless people. Sometimes I feel like when I try to make a plan with someone who has a child and they say, well, the baby's sleep schedule and we really don't want to get them out of whack. Sometimes I feel like it's like the equivalent of saying, I have to wash my hair that night. Like I sometimes feel like, is this really true? Are you really being, is this like, I believe that, you know, kids need a sleep schedule. I believe that 100%. But I also often feel like I'm on the receiving end of that excuse so many times that I'm like, is this true? I'm like, oh, we're not going to do a single thing because the baby's sleep schedule. Is this really true? I know parents will get mad at me, but I'm saying as someone who doesn't have kids, that's how it always feels like. It always feels true.
And I think the going across, you know, a time zone that's 3 hours different. I mean, I see what he's saying as far as that can be a mind fuck, but the thing that's so infuriating is just like, okay, I'll just go and Kristen can stay home with the baby. It's like, no, no one wants you, Luke. No one is like, wow, Watch What Happens Live. That's going to be a better show with Luke. You've got the personality of a broken pencil. Okay. Nobody wants you. They're there. You're there because of Kristen. So to be like, Kristen can stay and I'll just go party with everybody in New York and go to Soho Club with the guys and do all this, which you know is what he's thinking. And Kristen was probably like, yeah, we'll get your mom, but I don't want you going out and getting shit faced all night.
He's like, but I can't even have fun on my trip.
It's just gross. You're here because of Kristen, and don't ever tell yourself otherwise. please.
Yeah. And also, by the way, his response to Watch What Happens Live was not, I can come, but Kristen will have to stay back with the baby because we don't want to mess up the baby's sleep schedule. His response was, I'll come only if Kristen's not involved.
Right. Yeah. So this guy's just different. A piece of shit. It's hard watching him because he's such a piece of shit that he can't even learn to fake it.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Ronnie, quick question. Yeah. A rough estimate. How many, like, I just want a ballpark number. How many DMs do you think I'm going to get from parents who are going to be like, you don't understand, the babies need to have a sleep schedule? How many do you think I'm going to get? I'm going to say 47.
If it makes it fair, we're both going to be in trouble today. So just let it wash.
What are you going to be in trouble for?
I don't know. I've been bashing babies the whole time. I don't know. I don't want to list them because then if they slid through people, you know,
then you don't want
ears and right out of them. I don't need to remind people why to be mad at me though.
I will say this. People can save their DMs because if you DM me and say, no, it really is true. If you mess up a baby's sleep schedule, it like fucks you up for an entire week. I accept it. It's fine. You don't even have to DM me. I fully accept it. I'm not going to be able to push back.
I know it's true. I'm just saying so many babies
every time I try to like do something, I just feel like I'll be like, do you want to get lunch? Want the baby? Just can't mess with the baby sleep schedule. I'm like, really? Lunchtime?
That's the thing. It changes. You know, people know how much a baby changes a couple, but they don't think about me in the, like, you're not thinking about how much it's changing my schedule. Okay.
It's just tough. It's tough for us.
Yeah, friends got to get on the baby schedule. And now I know it. You know, my friends with babies and my close loved ones with babies, I know the schedule. I know when we can go out and do shit. And frankly, now that I'm getting older, it's really matching an old man schedule too. Because I'm like, it's dark. Get that baby in bed. And by baby, I mean me. Goodbye. Goodbye, baby.
You know what I'm going to start doing? If I'm going to start also pulling the schedule card, the sleep schedule card, like, hey, do you want to hang out? But we can only hang out like at 10 a.m. on Saturday. Like, I'm so sorry. That's going to mess up my doing something else schedule. So,
I'll have it
a different time.
You have that with board games or with, you know, you're involved in a lot of things. You can't just hang out at any time.
And board games are my babies. So,
that's your baby. Yeah,
now I realize. Such a right.
So just, and anyway, it's not even about the babies or when they sleep. Nobody gives a fuck. It's the point that they're using them as an excuse and a shield for their bad behavior. So Andy is like, okay, I need to play devil's advocate. Why don't you guys just have five nannies? Everybody needs five nannies. Come on. You need a backup nanny, a backup nanny, a backup nanny.
And they're like,
okay, we'll get a backup. Andy, this is the cast of The Valley. They barely had, look at what Brittany is wearing, a fast food wrapper, like as a dress. You don't pay these people enough to have five nannies? Stop it.
They can't.
All right, Chris. So, so at dinner, the first night of San Diego, Kristen, you were feeling like Luke wanted to leave and he was trying to comfort you. And you asked him if he was only saying that because he was on microphone. Was he more supportive of you on camera than off?
And she's like, well, around that time, I felt like that. Yeah, but I wouldn't say it was the camera. It was just that it was on and off. And like some days he was super sweet. And then other days he was barely speaking. And like in that moment, I was like, are you being for real? Like, are you being this sweet to me right now? Is this real? It's like, okay, cool. So he sucks.
Yeah, so basically your husband's an asshole. Then he was nice to you on camera. And you were like, are you really being nice to me? Or is it because there are cameras here? Yes, just say yes, Kristen. So then we get to Danny. And Danny is asked if he felt more for Janet because Janet had such a hate campaign against her on TV and now he's experienced it. Does he feel any kind of empathy, basically? And he's like, well, those were completely different situations. And Lala's like, the answer should be just yes. Yes, that's it. And he's like, excuse me, geez, to Pete.
I didn't talk the whole first half of this day. Okay, let me talk now. It's like, but like, it's not like they're different. Of course, they're different. Of course. Okay, well, I was going to go into a yes and then an apology. And then, I don't know, maybe a monologue from my favorite Marvel Cinematic Universe feature film, but I guess I can't do that.
You open your mouth every time I talk. She goes, well, I do talk a lot. And you're like, no kidding. Jeez, the Pete. Mary and Joseph, Jehoshaphat, whoosh, whoosh.
And you're like, okay, Danny, just make your point, please. And he's like, well, I never experienced it in my life. I was told to kill my... Okay, I don't want to read this in a voice. He says, I was told to kill myself so that my wife and my kids could have a better life. Yeah, who said that? What the fuck is wrong with people?
Yeah, that's just awful. People, I mean, Danny sucks, but like, let's also like get a grip and like, let's just keep it to snarky comments. Let's not like wish death upon him. It's not that serious.
That's crazy. People, yeah. Stop it. Get help. So he's saying he cried about it and he didn't want to get out of bed. And so he does want to apologize to Janet for all the stuff she experienced with that. And him being in a place at the time of liking or reposting and doing things like that, he also apologizes. And he doesn't even say, but I have a baby, which is impressive. Yeah. It's the first time today. So
this was like the most emotionally honest moment amongst the entire cast, because then they all start crying. Because half of them have been in a place where the audience has come at them with pitchforks. I mean, Kristen, Lala, just others. They're all just like crying. And they all know what it's like to have just pure hate from the internet coming their way. So Andy's like, well, Lala, what bothered you the most hearing the way Danny was speaking to Nia while everyone was prepping for the pageant? And she's like, his tones. And by the way, I did not, you know, I did walk up and I said, are you trying to be funny and be in character? Because, like, we know you love a good character. I mean, it's not a funny character, but you love a good character. And are you, like, trying to be a dick? And he was like, no, I'm in character. But then, like, when I left, it was, like, clear that, like, Nia was, like, uncomfortable. And I just, like, you know, he felt like he wasn't listening to her. So, of course, I stepped in.
So Andy asks Danny if he would have reacted to any of the men the same way that he reacted to Lala. And he's like, no, I wouldn't have. He's like, why?
Because I have penises. Why else?
She was triggered.
Farts to Marx. People.
It's like, but he says, he's like, I don't know Lala. So I don't like someone just coming in and weighing in. I don't know her. And Kristen's like, well, what if I did it? He's like,
yeah, I mean, if you came in, I feel like I would have 100% have a different reaction. I would have been like, look, there's a crazy lady trying to talk to me.
Kristen's like, well,
yeah, Kristen jumping in to help. Kristen jumping in to help because obviously what Andy was saying was it because it was a woman that you were reacting like that? And he's like, yes. So Kristen's like,
let me help you rephrase that. It would have been okay if it was a woman, just not her, right?
And he's like, yeah. So she says, you know, but then Kristen adds, oh, but I was horrified. I want everybody to know, watching it on TV, horrified, you know? And so Danny's like, well, obviously I was in the wrong, but, you know, he's asking the question. If someone else came in instead of the way you had, I would have had a different reaction. It's just, I'm in the wrong 100%. Okay, over and over. Monster, terrible, sorry about your fridge, Zach, but still, you all get it, right? I should never talk to my wife that way.
Well, Michelle, you point out that everyone is afraid to say something critical of Danny and Nia because of what happened to Janet. And so, you know, because she shared her opinion and got a lot of blowback. So who here do you think has more to say but isn't speaking up? And she's like, well, I think at one point, Jasmine in Mexico was talking about it, and Brittany and Jason and Janet and like everyone. And I just think in general, throughout different situations with people, you know, I was trying to be a middle person and resolve this situation because everyone was talking about it and I was just trying to help.
Mm-mm.
And so Dan's like, Jasmine's like, well, this is where it gets confusing. And Dan's like, yeah, it was really confusing, you know, because one half was saying one thing and the other half was saying another. And Lala's like, can I say something about that, though? By all means, Lala, take the floor again.
For my sake.
I actually understand Danny's confusion in this, because to see a group of people who go to him and have a problem with his behavior when he's drinking it and they say, no, drink as much as you want. Like, no, you can't, because he become unpredictable. And by the way, many people do. Like, many people who are totally normal, you know, who are not like me, who's like in a program. So like, you know, to have like this group saying like that, saying this, it was just confusing. So I gets that. Okay, Danny, now do you want to say why you were confused? Because I think I just said it for you.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, you're not supposed to tell other people they're an alcoholic, right? Like, that's up to them to do, to go on their own journey. But at the same time, when you're acting like a drunk idiot every time, people have the right to say you're acting like an idiot and we don't want to hang out with you, you know?
Yeah.
But God damn, this conversation, because he still doesn't get it. He's just looking like, what? Some people say I can drink and some people say I can't. What am I supposed to do? Well, hopefully you've seen yourself on camera and you know that you're a drunk idiot and you'll stop it, but he doesn't. So Jasmine's trying to explain, like, you're trying to make it in the gay bar about shaking your hips. Nobody cared about shaking your hips, but you were going to every single person making a huge deal. By the way, fall down drunk that day. He was miserable that night in Mexico at the gay bar. And he's like, yeah, well, that was Nia that said to not shake my hips, you know. She was trying, you know, but it got me mad. And he's like, and, you know, I was like, I can't dance. I can't even shape my hips. This is ridiculous.
And they're like, no, we don't.
Up the stairs by a go-go boy to strip.
Yeah. And they're like, no, we don't care about your hips. Do your hips. Just like, just be a better drinker, you know? And he's like, so Andy's like, well, it does make me wonder, what would have happened if you'd not been drinking in those situations? Yeah. It's like, you know, you're right. And to talk it. Josh, go ahead. Go ahead, fair Ronnie.
No, I'm so sorry. I didn't. I just thought you were going to stop, and then you didn't stop. You're like a baby.
I'm just like me drinking. I don't stop. I don't stop.
I thought this was just so funny, because Andy's like, okay, here's your opportunity to have your special moment about your drinking problem. Danny, let's open the floor to Danny, guys. He's going to come clean. We're all going to cry and wrap up this episode. Danny's like, well, you know, I've been thinking a lot since rapping 8 months ago, and I want everyone to know, I thought he was going to say, I haven't had a drink since then, or,
correct.
You know, like, I saw what I was, I stopped drinking. He goes, well, I have never been that intoxicated since. And I started cracking up, because, like, come on. And since then, I've been in therapy, and I really looked at my doctor, Grey Goose, and I looked at my relationship with alcohol, and I said, God, this is a strong relationship. And so I've been working and making my stronger self-control. You are now you're in trouble, yeah, as far as this alcohol conversation goes, because you can't even say I'm not drinking. You're like, I'm just not that drunk anymore, guys. I've got a handle on it. And then they're like, what about the wedding? What about Jasmine's
wedding? All whispering about this. They're all whispering about Jasmine's wedding. So finally, Andy's like, okay, what happened in Jasmine's wedding? And she's like, mine? What? And then they all are like, you want to say it? You want to say it? You want to say it? Jesse, why don't you say it? Jesse, you should say it. He's like, it has nothing to do with me. They're like, say it, Jesse. And he's like, what happened at the wedding?
What? And Lala's calling Jesse out because he's lying. She's like, bullshit. That's bullshit, Jesse. Because, of course, Jesse came and told everybody what happened at the wedding and now wants to stay on his side of the couch's team. And so he won't say it. So now they're all stressing to get him to say it. So what happened at the wedding?
Dun, dun, dun. We're going to find that out next week. Spoiler alert, it's that he probably got wasted and ignored Nia. So,
acted like a total drunk asshole at the wedding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, good times, everyone. Thanks for being here for this extra long episode of The Valley. Next week, we wrap it all up, the last Valley of the year. So join us for that. Actually, join us every single day. Join us for our recap of Next Gen New York City featuring us. Heyo! We'll talk to you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey. Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our Palliger. It's Karen Gallagher.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.